pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Daisy.
In the headlines, Nkwanta South DCE shot dead. Ghana Registered Nurses Association to address issues over pension strike today. Vice President Mr. Arthur attends Indian Economic Forum. Dosu worried about increasing cases of domestic violence. And AU gives Burkinabe Janta 2-week ultimatum to step down or face sanctions. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazi.
The DCE for Nkwanta South, Peter Kiyensu, has been shot dead. He was said to be returning home after buying some items from town. An eyewitness told Radio Ghana that the DCE died instantly in his car at around 6:45 p.m. The Ghana Registered Nurses Association is expected to hold a news conference today to discuss issues to do with the ongoing strike by organized labor over the second-tier pension scheme. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, the General Secretary of the Association, Mrs. Perpetual Foriampofo, said members of the association will go back to work once they receive the court order to do so. Vice President Kwesi Misa-Atha is in New Delhi to attend the Indian Economic Forum. His 4 days visit will offer him the opportunity to meet captains of Indian industry, especially small and medium-scale enterprises. Other meetings of the Vice President will be with companies well-versed in the establishment of gold refineries, ICT, and infrastructural projects. And the African Union has given Burkina Faso military 2 weeks to hand over power to a civilian ruler to avoid sanctions. The AU said the army defied the constitution by taking over after President Blaise Compaoré was forced to resign last Friday.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. Reports reaching Radio Ghana says the DCE from Nkwanta South, Peter Kojo Kenyesu, has been shot dead. An eyewitness told Radio Ghana that Mr. Kenyesu died instantly around 6:45 p.m. in his car. The DCE was said to have returned home after buying some items from town. The eyewitness spoke to Barbara Yakubu.
When he was in his car, in his official car, the district chief executive vehicle, this evening, and he came to town to buy bread, we all saw him in that particular regard. When he went back, then we just heard that the district chief executive has been shot dead.
What time did you see him buy the bread?
That was around 6:45 thereabouts.
Was he driving or someone was driving him?
He was driving.
Was he alone in the car?
Yes, he was alone in the vehicle. Then.
Where was he shot?
Just the entrance of his bungalow, just at the entrance of the district president, when he was about to enter. He was shot in the head.
And then what happened?
That is it. And he died instantly. It's not anything that probably the need say. Maybe they are taking him to anything. He just died instantly. And they conveyed the body to the Nkwanta government hospital.
And that was an eyewitness of the late DCE from Nkwanta South murder or shooting, talking to Barbara Yakubu. And now my producers tell us that we have a brother of the deceased DCE on the line by name Prosper Kenyesu to tell us what is happening. And we're trying to, you know, get him on the phone line to tell us what is happening now. But since we are unable to get in touch, we'll make some contact with them as and when, and we'll bring you that story later.
To other stories now, the General Secretary of the Ghana Registered Nurses Association, Mrs. Perpetual Soriang-Pofo, says the leadership of the association will hold a news conference today to address issues relating to the ongoing strike over the second-tier pension scheme. She said though they have not yet received any court order to return to work, members of the association will abide by the order once they receive it. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, Mrs. Ampofo urged government to look at the issues raised by organized labor and address them quickly so they can resume work.
We have not received court order that is telling us to go back to work.
When we meet, all the other unions are going to bring us feedback as to whether they have received the court order or not, and then we'll take a decision then.
Mrs. Oforiampofo, many are still wondering, even whilst you're working, there are complaints that because of the inadequacy of the numbers, people are still dying. And how much would the situation be with you being on strike, providing only in-service service to your patients?
Yes, I'm saying that if government recognize that nurses and midwives across the country are providing this essential role, then government should not sit down and wait for this to happen. Over the 2.5 years that we've been sitting at table and negotiating and dialoguing, we have not found any headway to this. And should we work for 30 years, 40 years and go on retirement and be paid lump sums of 4,000 cedis, 5,000 cedis, which is somebody's daily, what do you call it? You know, this is our issue, and this is what we are talking about. Our members are out there. Can you imagine a nurse, a community health nurse or an enrolled nurse, working in the remotest part of Ghana, where there is no electricity, there is no potable water? These people are working in these areas, contributing to the economy of Ghana, ensuring that we provide health services for Ghanaians. And that person should stay there and work for 30 years, 40 years, and when she goes on retirement and takes a car and comes down to Accra to collect her pension, she'll be given 5,000 Ghana cedis or 10,000 Ghana cedis as a lump sum. Is that it? Are we also not Ghanaians like the parliamentarians or government officials who take home huge, huge S-grashes? Are we not humans? This is our problem. This is what we keep talking about.
That was the General Secretary of the Ghana Registered Nurses Association, Mrs. Perpetual Soriang-Pofo.
Vice President Kwesi Mizaatha is in New Delhi for a four-day visit to meet captains of Indian industry, especially small and medium-scale enterprises, who will participate in the Indian Economic Forum being organized by the Confederation of Indian Industry and the Government of India. Mr. Mizaatha will also brief the chief executive officers of Indian industry and commerce about the economic potential in Ghana and also encourage them to invest in the country. Industries on the schedule of the vice president are agrochemicals, infrastructure construction and mining companies, and sugar enterprises. The same as Arthur will also meet concerns specializing in renewable energy, vocational and skills training, and commodity exchanges. The rest are companies well versed in the establishment of gold refineries, ICT, and infrastructural projects. The vice president will, during his interaction, inform them of the oil and gas industry, massive water bodies and agricultural lands, mining and tourism. Mr. Mizaatha is accompanied by his wife, Matilda Mizaatha, and the Minister of State responsible for private sector development, Dr. Rashid Pelpo.
The post between Ghana and Togo has been inaugurated at Northern near Togo. The inaugural ceremony was jointly performed by President John Mahama and Togo President Faure Gnassingbé. The border post to be manned by security personnel from both countries is to further give impetus to the free movement of persons and goods in line with ECOWAS protocol. President Mahama warned security personnel to avoid mounting illegal checkpoints and extorting money from traders who use the route. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The joint border post at Nwese was funded by the European Union at a cost of more than 10 million euros. There are two other border posts making this, they said. The move is in line with ECOWAS's free transport facilitation program in collaboration with the European Union. It is also a symbol of regional integration. Chair of ECOWAS, President Mahama, said trade within the sub-region and the African continent is regrettably low, and the time to remove trade barriers is now. By next year, January, the ECOWAS Common External Tariff will come into operation. The Common External Tariff regime would ensure the free movement of ECOWAS members at the borders and also eliminate duties paid on goods from neighboring countries.
We expect that the joint border post we are handing over to the immigration, security and other border personnel from Ghana and Togo will see the elimination of all rigid and outmoded border formalities and procedures. The existing measures are to give way to modernized border procedures, which will be easier and more efficient through the use of modern equipment, machines and harmonized documentation process.
President Mahama also strongly spoke on illegal barriers mounted on road corridors and borders to collect bribes from businessmen and traders. He said studies have shown that these illegal barriers are a hindrance to intra-regional trade.
For us to guarantee faster development and achieve prosperity in a shorter time, African nations will have to trade more with each other. This is why joint border posts like this one at Nwepe will serve as a vehicle and a channel for the expansion of trade. The next step is for all our countries to commit to the removal of illegal road checks by all manner of security officials. It doesn't help to commission a beautiful joint border post like this if after the vehicles have crossed through this beautiful edifice, they encounter illegal checks. This is a well-known complaint by our people, and our people do not like this, and we must muster the political will to remove this illegal barrier to trade.
The joint border post has zones for passenger transportation, freight handling, rest halls, restaurant, among other facilities. The ceremony was witnessed by the president of the ECOWAS Commission, Kadre Desiree Odrago, and Togolese Prime Minister Kwesi Ahumezunu.
Pascal Nadadevo reporting.
The Minister of Finance, Seth Tekle, says it is important that investors learn from the crisis on the global market and take measures to absorb the shocks. Speaking at the launch of the 10th anniversary of the activities of the Central Securities Depository, CSD, in Ghana, Mr. Tekle called for the creation of an efficient and effective capital market to meet global standards. The minister, who lauded feats achieved by the CSD, urged them to do more to gain the confidence of investors. Mercy Darko and Emilia Aite have more.
The idea of establishing a depository in Ghana originated from Ghana's financial sector strategic plan developed in the early 2000s to reform the financial system and to attract investors into the Ghanaian economy. As a result, a national bond market committee was set up. Following recommendations of the committee, the Bank of Ghana in November 2004 established the first depository in the country alongside an electronic auction system to handle the issue. Launching the 10th anniversary of the depository, Mr. Tekwe said the establishment of the depository has supported growth in the capital market.
The establishment of the Central Securities Depository has contributed immensely to the efficient and effective running of the capital markets as we get into. CSD has indeed filled a voice in the financial landscape of Ghana, has floated the Bank of Ghana's issuance of certificates, which was slow, and has heavy transaction costs, hatches in particular with its automation. I believe in this regard that we have a lot to learn, we on the fiscal side, on these initiatives, even as we attempt to move government payment systems, which incidentally ends at the government, at the central bank, onto an electronic platform.
The governor of the Central Bank of Ghana, who is also chairman of the Central Securities Depository, in his remarks called for an integration of depositories in the sub-region.
We need to position the depositories to serve the market more efficiently.
The Central Securities Depository currently maintains accounts for more than 625,000 investors in government treasury bills and bonds, and about 80,000 accounts for investors in stocks and shares.
Mercy Darko and Emilia Aite filed that report.
And we understand a relative of the late DCE is on the line to speak to us. Good morning to you, Kingsley Kenyensu.
Yes.
How are you related to the DCE? Is he your brother?
Yes, it was yesterday night, around 7:30, exactly. So it's like he closed from work. So the driver brought him to the house. So we are all in the house when we asked him whether we should bring his food to him or not, and he told us that he don't feel like eating, so we should prepare tea for him. And we told him that we are short of bread. So it's like, I don't know how to drive. So he picked the car himself to town and bought the bread. When he returned, we are two people in the house, one of his secretary with me. So I was even bathing and the secretary was inside the room. So when my uncle arrived, he mentioned our names. So it was the secretary who responded and came out and opened my uncle's door for him. So it's like the guy collected the bread my uncle went and bought from him. So my uncle was complaining of his phone inside the car. So it's like my uncle was checking. So the secretary told him that we should come out so that he would check the phone for him. So my uncle also went and passed to the other side, from the driver's side to the other side. So I was also in the bathhouse. All of a sudden, I heard of a gun shot. Bang. So I ran away from the bathhouse nakedly. When the secretary pushed me that I should go back, it was a gun that they shot. So I was asking, so where is my uncle? The guy was telling me I should keep quiet. I shouldn't talk because maybe the people may be around. So we went and hid at one place. And I was asking the guy, so what are we to do now? So the guy called my uncle driver that this is what has happened. So he should call policemen so that they should come. So I also went and hid some place and giraffed my head and saw that my uncle was lying down. And I told the guy that my uncle was the one that shot to death that though. He's the one lying down. So we're there. We were calling people to people. They were just making hello, hello.
Hello, Kingsley.
Yes.
Did the incident take place inside the house or the car was parked outside the house?
Outside the house. He just parked the car near the house where he normally used to park his car. It's not far. It's just the compound. Car. So it was the gunshot came out of the bush. Car. So it was, we were also inside the room when people came before we were able to get outside to come and see the dead body lying outside.
Well, Kingsley, do you suspect any persons or group of persons, you know, in the area who might be behind this?
For now, no. I don't know anybody like suspecting somebody around that area. That area, it was some people who are living there with us. They are electricians, constructing these electricians to the villages and things. Huh. Apart from those people, we don't have anybody surrounding us.
All right, Kingsley Kenyensu, our condolences, and we thank you for speaking to us this morning. That was Kingsley Kenyensu, a nephew of the late DCE from Kwanta South, who was shot dead yesterday in the evening. Meanwhile, we had earlier spoken to the Kwanta District, South District Police Commander, who agreed to speak to us, but it's unfortunate when we reached him, we were told he's in a meeting now, so we'll get him later in the subsequent bulletins to state the police side of the issue.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Nkwanta South DC is shot dead. Ghana Registered Nurses Association to address issues over pension strike today. Vice President Mr. Arthur attends Indian Economic Forum, thus worried about increasing cases of domestic violence, and AU gives Burkinabe Junta 2-week ultimatum to step down or face sanctions. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news at 6 continues. The 2016 presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Adudankwe Akufo-Addo, has described as worrying the manner in which the government is handling pension funds of hundreds of thousands of Ghanaian workers. He said the current dispute surrounding the Tier 2 pension funds is a result of the opaque manner in which these matters are being dealt with. Nana Akufo-Addo made this known when the leadership of the National Democratic Party, NDP, led by National Chairman Dr. Ani Josiah Aye, called on him at his residence to congratulate him on his victory as the presidential candidate of the NPP. Nana Akufo-Addo urged all stakeholders to work together to get a good deal for the working people of Ghana.
The National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, has held an emergency meeting on the crisis in Burkina Faso and the impact immigrants from that country will have on Ghana as far as the Ebola disease is concerned. The officials looked at the readiness of the Ebola centers to manage immigrants in case of any of them is detected to have symptoms of Ebola. The meeting agreed that education should be intensified on the mode of transmission of the disease using the district assemblies and chiefs along the border in the north and other parts of the country where immigrants are likely to use to enter Ghana. The chairman of the Relief and Reconstruction Committee, Dr. Cecilia Binti, expressed the need to have a place to quarantine possible carriers of Ebola.
The executive director of the Safety Training Academy Ghana, Nana Noamiye, has described illegal connection by third-party contractors as unprofessional, criminal and unpatriotic. He said this practice causes avoidable accidents and needless deaths. Nana Noamiye explained that these illegal acts mostly involve the use of fake electrical wires, which endangers the lives of Ghanaians in general. He was delivering a lecture on safety at the launch of the second Safety, Health and Environmental Awareness Week of the Electricity Company of Ghana in Accra. A report by Nanoma Omari and Cecilia Berko.
This year's Safety Week seeks to create awareness of the hazards of electricity and the importance of preventing needless deaths, both at workplaces and homes. It also aims at reducing accidents which are caused by electrical faults and negligence. On a broader scale, safety can be associated with motor, industrial, personal hygiene, corporate sanitation, and environment cleanliness. The executive director of the Safety Training Academy Ghana Limited, Nana Anoamihie, said the use of electricity is good, but it is also a hazard that needs to be handled with care. He throws more light on safety rules.
Portable electrical equipment is often involved in electrical accidents because it is often unsuitable for the job being done, is misused and not inspected or maintained. Avoid using electrical equipment in wet conditions. We would also advise the public to avoid connivance with those carrying out illegal connections completely.
The managing director of the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, William Hackton Mensah, urged the Safety and Environment Division of the company to be effective in enforcing the company's rules, operating procedures, transport policy, and other codes of practice recommended at the national level.
As at last year, we recorded a total of 26 accidents. This year, up to date, we reduced them to 14. And we are mindful of the fact that there are dangers associated with the use of electricity. So we are using this medium to educate our customers and the general public to be very safety conscious when it comes to issues concerning electricity. They should also report with every fault so that we can take immediate action.
Electricity is a good servant, but a bad master. So one must think safety and prevent accidents because the price of accidents is always high.
Nanama Omari and Cecilia Berko filed that report.
Cases of domestic violence continue to increase annually in Ghana. Last year alone, Ghana recorded about 18,755 cases of rape and defilement, among others. The situation, according to the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit DOSU of the Ghana Police Service, is appalling. The head of DOSU, ASP Laurentia Akoli, said the greater challenge undermining its work is the inability of victims to report perpetrators of such crimes to the police. She cautioned families of victims to stop influencing them to settle cases at home, as this does not help to check cases of assault. Priscilla Pia and Patience Quay have filed this report.
DOSU was established in 1998 to protect the rights of the vulnerable against all forms of abuse. It is also to establish an effective database for detection, prevention, and prosecution of cases of domestic and gender-based violence. Currently, many victims of abuse are reluctant to report cases to DOSU for the fear of DOSU personnel revealing their ordeal to others and discouraging victims from pursuing their cases in court. This has stifled the operations of DOSU. In order to ignite the role of DOSU in tackling cases of violence, the ARC Foundation Ghana has collaborated with Star Ghana to draft a policy to strengthen DOSU. The head of DOSU, ASP Laurentia Akoli, called on other NGOs to support its operations.
Priscilla Appiah and Patience Kwe filed that report. We take a break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
In foreign news, the African Union AU has given Burkina Faso's military a 2-week deadline to hand power to a civilian ruler or face sanctions. The AU said the army had acted unconstitutionally when it took over after President Blaise Compaoré was forced to resign last Friday. The military said a civilian-led transitional government would be established as quickly as possible. Mr. Compaoré quit after mass protests at his bid to extend his 27-year rule.
Acting Zambian leader Guy Scott has dismissed the presidential frontrunner as Secretary General of the ruling party, pointing to a fiercely contested election in the next 3 months to succeed the late leader Michael Sata. Mr. Scott has not given any reason for the surprise removal of Defense Minister Edgar Lungu from his top post in late President Sata's Patriotic Front Party, which came to power after elections in 2011. When Mr. Sata died in a London hospital last week at the age of 77, Vice President Scott became Africa's first white leader in 20 years. However, he is constitutionally barred from running for president because his parents were born in Scotland.
Americans are preparing to vote in midterm elections, which will decide who controls the Senate and pave the way for the 2016 race for the White House. The Republicans, who already control the House of Representatives, need to win just 6 seats to take the Senate. Meanwhile, the Democrats are battling to stay ahead as President Barack Obama's approval ratings fall to the lowest since he was elected. Many analysts predict a Republican victory as President Obama's popularity rate fails to climb above 40% despite recent improvements in the economy.
Ukraine's president is to chair a crisis meeting of his security chiefs following elections in rebel-held regions of the east. In an address, President Petro Poroshenko said Sunday's polls in parts of the eastern Donetsk and Luhansk regions could derail the entire peace process. Two pro-Russian leaders were declared the winners of the polls and are expected to be sworn in today. The West says the elections were illegal as Russia is backing them. More than 4,000 people have been killed in fighting eastern Ukraine since April.
To end the news, another look at our headlines. The DCE from Kwanta South, Peter Kinyesu, has been shot dead. He was said to be returning home after buying some items from town. A nephew, Kingsley Kinyesu, told Radio Ghana that the DCE died instantly from the shot. The Ghana Registered Nurses Association is expected to hold a news conference today to deliberate on issues pertaining to the ongoing strike by organized labor over the second-tier pension scheme. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the General Secretary of the Association, Mrs. Perpetual Oforiampofu, said members of the association will go back to work once they receive a court order to do so. And cases of domestic violence is reported to be on the increase annually in Ghana. Last year alone, Ghana recorded about 18,755 cases of rape and defilement, among others. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy in Accra.